welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There is but one point of major emphasis in our lesson. By the time we reach Deuteronomy chapter 8 in reading the Bible, Israel was free from Egypt, living under the leadership of Moses, nearing the end of 40 years in the wilderness. Leadership was soon to change hands from Moses to Joshua, who would take Israel across Jordan and into the promised land of Canaan. Moses spoke to his people and rehearsed God's law and reminded them of the covenant made with the Lord. Chapter 8 is the recollection of the hardships and the rigors of the 40 years in the wilderness. It had been a time when Israel was helpless without God. God had supplied them their food, their drink, their clothing, their protection, their guidance, their direction. And under these conditions, with few exceptions, Israel found no difficulty in remaining humble and mindful of the providence and love of God. The trials and tests of the wilderness had called forth faith and courage, endurance, devotion, and even determination. Now, to be sure, some had failed. Some rebelled against God. Some turned to idols. But soon the nation would face a new and different kind of test. A new day was dawning for ancient Israel. Their wanderings would soon cease, and they would build permanent homes. The poverty, the hunger, the thirst of the past would soon be behind them, and they would inhabit a good land with brooks of water, and fountains, and grain, and vineyards, fig trees, and houses, and flocks, peace and prosperity. They would have rest and rejoice that their battles were won, their trials were behind them, their problems conquered, and all would be well. But this would be true only to a limited extent. Having faced the test of adversity, they would now face the test of prosperity. Friend, often the second test is more difficult than the first, because it's more deceptive and subtle and blinding. It often takes a stronger character to be true to God in success than in hardship. Blessings wrongfully accepted and misunderstood and misapplied can become a millstone about our necks. Moses therefore warns Israel lest their coming to prosperity be their undoing, and they fall victim to its perils, even though they had passed the many tests in the wandering of wilderness. Now this is a timely thought for our land of relative abundance. It is needful for everyone who seems to succeed. The principles of Deuteronomy 8 should concern us, especially as we see multitudes seeking more and more material gain. Hosts of people discarding spiritual values in their mad rush for pleasure and power and popularity and possession. We hear repeatedly of our greatness and our accomplishments in this land, the praise of our own genius, as if God had nothing whatever to do with our welfare and good fortune. It is a rare thing for men to assign credit to God that things are as well with us as they are. Pride runs rampant in the land, and haughtiness is prevalent. Materialism has become the watchword. All of this has created a neglect of the soul. The perils of Israel that they would face would be temptations to be self-indulgent, indeed overindulgent. Whereas poverty demanded discipline, calling for rationing and denial and restriction and dependence. Wealth can lead to extravagance and indulgence. It can lead to waste and selfishness, even gluttony and surfeiting. People in need cannot indulge in things that men of abundance feel they can afford. But people of abundance are tempted to indulge themselves in that which they do not need, even that which will lead to their own destruction. Self-indulgence is a violation of good stewardship. It's a departure from discipline, and it can and will eventually cause ruin. Solomon warned in Proverbs 23:2, "Put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." Now this refers to those who surrender themselves to their own lust, their own desires, their appetites, and their wants. An abundance of this world's goods, if not kept under control, will weaken moral fiber and character, spoiling one into thinking he must accommodate every whim and wish and fancy. Great danger exists in losing possession of possessions and becoming possessed by them. Oh, there's power in wealth. It takes courage and morality, high standards and self-control to rightly handle that power and to use it to God's glory. Material prosperity tempts man to forsake God. It does not have to be that way, but too often it is. Paul warned against this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When one is in the shade of ease, he is liable to forget God and how he sustained him under the heat of the sun. When at rest, we can forget how it was in time of labor and trouble. Good fortune can becloud the memory of God's providence. Often the mercy of God is remembered only when we suffer, but too seldom when we enjoy gain. We plead for God's hand to supply us, but once supplied, we sometimes forget about the hand that provided it. Is it not improper to be mindful of God only when we're asking of Him, but forgetful of Him and neglectful of gratitude once we've received from Him? Who can justify such attitudes and actions? Probably the tendency to forget God in good times stems from the sin of pride, making ourselves our own gods. And Moses warned Israel, lest thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Adversity may depress, but prosperity can cause us to be presumptuous and arrogant and self-willed and puffed up. When people reach heights never before reached, they may be prone to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. They may begin to feel that their success is due to their own power, the might of their own hand, rather than remember that they are but co-workers with God and helpless without Him. Pride is akin to making a god of oneself. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. Having a full table and plenty of everything can become our undoing. God resisteth the proud, and prosperity tempts one to become proud. When that is the case, our bounty becomes our enemy rather than our friend. It is the exception, not the rule, that frail men can pass the test of prosperity. Consider Israel. Both individuals and the nation, once they entered the land that flowed with milk and honey, many otherwise good people in less wealthy circumstances have met their physical, mental, social, and spiritual ruin when they became what they thought was better off materially. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus taught in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Less wealthy people are likely to feel more keenly their dependence on God, while the wealthy may be inclined to trust in riches, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Now, Jesus does not condemn riches per se, nor prudence in using talents and diligently acting intelligently regarding material wealth. He condemns placing trust in the perishable and giving little heed to the matters of the Spirit. Nebuchadnezzar failed the test of fullness. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a house of the kingdom by the might of my power? Daniel 4, verse 30. But he was brought low. He was driven to live with the beast until he recognized the power of God. The rich fool of Luke 12 fell victim to his own success and was unable to cope with plenty, being deceived into thinking his material welfare reflected his spiritual welfare. And the rich man of Luke chapter 16, though clothed in purple and fine linen and faring sumptuously every day, was blinded by his wealth, being indifferent to the poor. And Jesus said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God." The very nation Moses warned often fell into apostasy under the influence of their prosperity. They eventually lost their land altogether, and their identity as a nation. The land of Palestine, no longer by God-given right, belongs to the people of Israel. Repeatedly, they were deluded by their successes into forsaking God, only to suffer ruin and collapse. This is the reason and the warning we must heed, and not allow ourselves to become victims of a similar destiny. We may be inclined to categorize as wealthy only those who have more than we do. But wealth is a relative matter, isn't it? Comparing most of us in our land with the people of the world generally, we would fall into the classification of the wealthy. We have our physical needs provided, health care, and luxuries, and freedom, and family, and opportunities, and jobs, and protection, plus the unspeakable spiritual blessings that are in Christ. We never know whether there will be ill winds of adversity or good breezes of prosperity to come upon us in the future. But we must realize the need of God in hard times. But the admonition of this lesson, exemplified before us by Israel, is that we must remember the Lord in good times as well as in hard times, in the calm as well as in the storm, in victory as well as defeat, in joy as well as sorrow. Yes, there's a great test for us in prosperity. How will we fare? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.